This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
All right, back with another Enough About Me. The feedback to the podcast last week or so have been fantastic. I appreciate that. Subscribe if you would. Leave a 5-star review if you'd like as well. Leave a 1-star review if you think it sucks. That's fine as well. I don't really care. Dave Portnoy will join me here in a few minutes. I have a good relationship with him, obviously. Barstool, I did a lot of work with at the Super Bowl. Portnoy has been a good, loyal supporter of mine in shitty times. And I've tried to be for him as well. Because I think Barstool is necessary. I think it's necessary in media today, and I know people get worked up about that. But first of all, they have fucking fun. They laugh, and they point out stupid shit that's going on in America right now. And the more of that is necessary, and they're getting bigger and bigger and bigger. And if anybody had a fucking brain, they would say, geez, I wonder why that's so popular. In the smaller way, I think they would look at my old show and say, geez, I wonder why that's so popular. Because people, have an appetite for it. So that must mean that a lot of people feel that way, which means that we should maybe defend it. And Portnoy's been defended and has fought back, and I give him a lot of credit for that. And this company, which is getting bigger and bigger and bigger, you guys know all about it, obviously. He was my first guest on the first episode. He'll be my guest here on the 99th episode in a few minutes. Other than that, not much to update. We do have a producer. We hired a producer. His name is Dave Cullinane. Dave Cullinane is his name. He's been around, done some Boston producing in the past. So he's going to be my producer here going forward, starting a week from Wednesday, which is the 27th. I'll start hiring. He'll be with me full time as we move forward first with this sort of daily podcast, which will be, I think, officially announced sometime in April, and then the live show, which will happen whenever that happens. Trying to think here what else. Not really much else going on, obviously, since yesterday. No big stories in the news. I enjoyed this conversation. So I'm doing this after the fact here with Portnoy. Maybe I'll go live on... should I go live on Periscope right now? And it was kind of screwed up last time. People seem to like it, though. So, I'll do it for 2 minutes with you guys here as we get to the Enough About Me with Portnoy. Let me see here. How did I do it last time? Did I do it like this? What do you see now? Initializing video stream. We're going to go live. So we're live again on Periscope here. We'll give him a couple minutes. So I hit it twice, and it's me. Did I do it right? I did. There is literally two people on. This is what it's all about. Two people on. 15 people on this exciting feed here as I wrap up Enough About Me, episode 99. I just interviewed Portnoy. We had a good 25-30-minute conversation. We covered everything you want to talk about, Barstool, everything that's going on in media today. We got all that shit going on. So it was a pretty entertaining talk with Portnoy. The rest of the week, tomorrow, I have an interesting one. I'm going to tape episode 100 tomorrow of Enough About Me. Ben Kitchen, I think, who was my initial producer, will be on. We're going to try and book him for later today, maybe early tomorrow, talk about his experience producing it. He was there at the beginning of it, did a great job producing my podcast. We had a falling out. Obviously, I had my big fight with Michael Hawley October of 2017. And then Ben and I didn't really talk after that. He left the show, or I let him go as producer. So we're going to cover that as well. He's working with Mikey Adams now, who hates me. So I'd like to talk about that. So some stuff to talk about with Ben. And then this is candidate running for Congress in Virginia. I'm going to mispronounce his name, so I'm not going to say it. He's on tomorrow as well. Interesting guy. He's got a lot of thoughts that I disagree with. But I give him credit. I've reached out to person after person after person to come on here. Can everybody in Periscope land hear me okay as I'm taping this, podcast? So he's the one guy who said yes, and I've asked everybody to come on. Stuttering John, I've asked a bunch of authors to come on, so people have disagreed with some other issues, and you get no response or a no. When Kirk Minahan asks people to come on the podcast, you know, you get a lot of pussy them. You get a lot of no. And for media people as well, by the way, people who are afraid to come on and, you know, and fight back, but they're happy to lob bombs. You know, like the Globe people, like the Shirley LeWongs, the Kevin Collins, the Brian McGorries, you know, cowards, people who will not fight back. Well, they're not alone. There are other people in the world like that. Whereas opposed to having a debate, and that's where I give this Tom Stackpole guy credit. Joe Rogan, I'd love to have on somebody periscoping me, and I'd love to go on his podcast. I give the Stackpole guy credit, at least. He came on and fought. You know, he you know, I don't know how good of a job he did, but he came on and fought, whereas others will not. So that's the that's sort of the quandary I'm in right now. But you get another podcast here today, which would be Wednesday for you guys at 10 a.m. And then the next one with those two, with Ben and this congressional candidate I talked about, would be Thursday at 10 a.m. And I'm going to try and do another one as well. So there you go. So I'm just going to answer this now. I'm going to stop. First of all, I'm going to stop the broadcast. So there you go. Hello to all you people. Just wanted to check in quickly on there, stopping the broadcast. and I get this all the time. And I had this conversation with Carlson Mosdes, who is working for me as part of the show, sort of the director of operations for the show. And Jeff Sadolano, who is, you know, essentially my program director. I did the mailbag last week, sort of this, you need to move on from the EI stuff. And my argument is I will as time goes on. But, you know, again, I've said this before, it's my show. It was my show. It means a lot to me. And I have thoughts about it. And clearly people do as well. I get asked about it all the time. And I built my reputation by being honest and talking about things that others wouldn't talk about. So, you know, I'm going to talk about the show once in a while. I mean, just tough shit. I'm going to talk about the show. Today's not one of those days, but I'm just saying that stuff's going to happen. So anyway, long way around of saying, reach out to guests all the time. You can tweet me at Kirkmin, K-I-R-K-M-I-N, if you have any guest thoughts as well. You know, I'll reach out to anybody and give them a shot. But Portnoy was nice enough to jump on, give me 25 minutes or a half hour today. And he's the guest right now coming up on episode 99 of Enough About Me. All right. First of all, I have Portnoy here, and I can't hear him because I think it's...
Well, I'm going to yell. You told me I have to yell, so if you want me to yell, I'll yell.
But why is it so... But you can hear me okay.
Yes. I'm yelling.
The last time we saw each other was in Atlanta. I thought it was... First of all, give me a Kirk Minahan report card for the week in Atlanta, please, if you would.
I mean, I thought you did a very good job. I give you, like, a B+. I liked when you asked Goodell. That was prior to me getting dragged out of the Super Bowl, if you knew what Barstool was.
Right.
It was good on radio. Some of the guests, you know, when you have the lazy guests, not lazy guests, but you never know who's coming on during Super Bowl week, so some guests better than others.
Too many guests.
The guy we had who couldn't talk on the Falcons.
Too many guests.
Well, yeah, because we booked. Who was the guy in the Falcons, the wide receiver, who couldn't speak?
Oh, yeah, he was fucking terrible. He was terrible.
Yeah. It was good. It went well. What'd you think?
I enjoyed it.
Yourself.
Yeah. It was different for me not being, like, running the show was weird. Like, just going in and doing my, like, being the guy there was sort of a weird experience for me. Because it's your show. It's your world. So I'm there kind of to help out. So not being the perceived alpha was strange. I wrestled with that. Emotionally, mentally, sexually, I wrestled with that all week.
Yeah. It is different. And you don't know because obviously you like to stir things up and some of the guests were friends with, some were not. So it's always, I get that. I totally get that.
But do you admire me more than you did before the week started?
No. Minahan, I said I would hire you all the way through. So that opinion of mine didn't change.
Is that door still open? Because I promoted that new live show I was going to do starting in March. We're now, you know, in the middle of March. So, you know, when they eventually kick me out of here, is that door is still open?
Yeah, depending on when you get kicked. I mean, it's not never, you know, what if I'm not here? Who knows? I mean, when you're available. But as of now, I would say yes.
We didn't talk a lot during that because, you know, you got fucking 50 different things going on. You're doing pizza reviews. You're running around. You're in Atlanta. We only talked a little bit. Do you enjoy like radio is my life. I love it. I'm obsessed with it. Do you enjoy doing satellite, that radio show, or is it just there and you just have to do it?
I would say I love it. It's like what you said. We're doing a million things. So we don't put much planning into it. We just kind of sit down and do it.
I'd agree with that. So,
what's that?
I would agree with that. There was not a lot of planning going on.
Correct. So sometimes I like doing it. And I do respect, like, guys like you, like 2 hours. 1 hour of doing radio a lot of times, I'm good. And then I want to go on to something else. 2 hours can sometimes drag, and I know that's not a long show. But there's just so many different things. I do enjoy it, but on slow days and things that we don't have a lot to talk about, you know, after 1 hour, I'm ready to get out of there. But I do skip it a lot, too. It's so much. It's an unusual thing because, like you said, we're doing pizza reviews, and we do a different show right before that, our rundown. This is a billion things, and on the scale of what we're doing, the satellite radio is probably middle of the pack in terms of importance to me.
You guys are obviously always trying to do different shit. You're getting in trouble. You're doing this. You're doing that. Do you ever reach a point where you're kind of like, well, I mean, like, what's left? Like, how long can we be playing sort of the underdog role, the everyone hates us role, when the reality is now, I mean, most people now, like, love you guys. I mean, especially right. People our age and younger. I mean, how much longer can you play this pretend game where, like, you know, you act like you're the underdog when it's clearly bullshit at this point?
Well, listen. I've always said 99% of people love Barstool, so I've never hidden that. But we're always going to be in this underdog anti-PC role because with the hatred that is felt towards Barstool Sports, and me in particular, is very real.
Like, by the media.
Check mark. What's that?
By the media, not by people.
Correct.
Right.
But as long as we're portrayed in the media as, you know, the devil and the worst people in the world, we'll continue to do the underdog card. I agree with you. Most people like us. That's why we're growing and other people are failing. But, you know, anytime something good happens, there's 1,000 hit pieces, and there's still people who have no idea who we are who jump in and they read the article and they don't do any research. As long as I'm getting, you know, dragged out of the Super Bowl by Roger Goodell, I'm pretty sure we're going to be able to play the underdog card. It is a unique situation in which we have grown, and we are, I would say, mainstream, but it still has that pirate ship persona because of the way, you know, our peers, I don't know if you want to call them peers, the rest of the media world does hate me, and they truly think I'm a bad guy. Like, I've asked some people, it's like, this person's just playing along, right? They know they're getting clicks. They know when they talk about me, it drives page views.
Like who?
They don't really hate me.
Like who?
They do really hate me, I think.
Like Deadspin people? Who? Who specifically?
Yeah, like that Laura Wagner.
Yeah,
like,
she hates you.
Yeah, she hates me. Now, I really, in the beginning, I'm like, oh, she's in the arena, so to speak. We're kind of doing this game where she gets clicks, I get clicks. And then people who kind of knew her are like, no, she really thinks you're like Hitler. She thinks you're bad for society. And it's like, how? How is that possible for a rationally thinking human? But they're not. They're just crazy people. And all these blue checkmark brigade people, they're all nuts. I've said this. Anybody who criticizes me or Barstool, if you go look at their next three tweets, it is 100% fact that, like, something is anti-Trump.
Oh, of course. Politics. Well, that's my whole, yeah, right. That's my existence. But, you know, I am a big reason why I'm out of my job is because of this activist. We've talked about it. Went after me, da-da-da.
Yeah, I know what you mean.
You've seen it happen to your buddy Tucker Carlson, right? So,
yep.
I mean, are you surprised that there's not been an effective campaign yet against Barstool?
Well, if I had overlords like you did or you do, it would be effective. I am in a unique position, which people didn't believe. I control the content.
I didn't. I didn't believe you 3 years ago. You sat down with me in the podcast, and I remember saying to you, it's going to be different. You're going to be fucked. You've sold your soul. When you get in trouble, I have to be fair. Clearly, that's not the case. I mean, it's just not.
Right. So we still have total control of that, and they knew it going in. They haven't changed. There's nothing I've ever been told to apologize or do something different. So the fact that I can't be removed or really punished for anything I say gives us the upper hand. So it's just, we're impervious to it. And, you know, you can look at it good and bad. If they want to sell the company again, churning all this reputation, my reputation certainly hurts. People are afraid to touch us. But monetizing what we do here and growing the brand and making the readership stronger, it helps. It builds the core because people are so sick of this other shit. And it's like, we are a brand that literally sticks to what we say. And basically, the more you hate us, the more we give you the bird back. So that works in our favor.
But there's been no point in the last couple of years where you've done something or someone in your world has done something so dumb where one of your bosses said, hey, listen, you got to apologize for this. You got to get rid of this. We'll get to the other stuff in a second. But there's been no moment like that where they've said, you can't say that.
No. No, I mean, for the most part, we are normally functioning rational people, and I trust everybody here is like morals and integrity. Sure, you may do a bad joke or something like that, but we're generally on the right side of history with everything we say. And like an example of your past, like when you had to apologize for threatening to kill Goodell, like shit like that just won't happen here because, you know, that's a fake apology. Everyone knows it's a fake apology. Everybody knows anybody who's bent out of shape of that is a lunatic. So we don't have to deal with that.
Are you more convinced now after what happened to you at the Super Bowl, which I told you was going to happen all week? You didn't believe me. Are you more convinced now than ever that your Goodell-Hitler comparison, you must stand by that now stronger than you ever have?
Of course. How could you not? I mean
Hitler at the 36 Olympics in Berlin would have done that to somebody.
Yeah, I honestly did not think I would get kicked out of the Super Bowl. I was stunned it happened. It just seems like they have better things to do than like kick a guy out who paid for a ticket, who's pretty much minding his own business at the game. But I was wrong. The depths of his insecurity and fear of a democratic regime like Barstool runs very deep, apparently.
Have you ever in your life, gone to a massage parlor and been jerked off?
Oh, yeah, of course.
Oh, is that true?
Yeah.
I didn't know that. I didn't know. Have you admitted that?
Yeah.
Oh, well, when was the last time this happened?
Oh, a long time ago.
Don't you think out of solidarity you should do that now?
I mean, I don't have to do it out of solidarity. I have no problem with it. Now, granted, I'll admit, the whole sex trafficking thing, that never even crossed my mind
So for the record, you are anti-sex trafficking.
I am very anti-sex trafficking.
Right. I've heard you say
in
that.
In this case, would actually make me rethink. Yeah, like I never thought about it. It's like, all right, you go to a massage parlor. I feel like that's not that big of a deal.
You thought that the woman there who couldn't speak English, who jerked you off, was really excited about this
perfect
experience?
Perfect English, Kirk. Perfect English.
Oh, okay.
Prostitution is the world's oldest trade. I have no problem. If a girl wants to, if I'm going to pay somebody and they want to jerk me off, what do I care?
Well, I agree. If it's two consenting adults, then I'm with you. I'm on board with that. I am for the legalization of prostitution.
Right. So, all right, there is a much different dynamic here at play. And by the way, I think it's going to come out that this was not sex trafficking at all.
It already seems to be. It's leaning that way already, yeah.
Yeah, so much to do about nothing here. But it did make me rethink, though. I mean, there's issues, obviously, if these women are being held captive or any that's horrific. I don't think that's going to be the case here. I've never been remotely aware that that's been the case. So it does open your eyes. I don't know if they do it again if these women are like part of some conspiracy. But in terms of the general philosophy of if a girl wants to make money, what do I fucking care?
It seems like such a joyless experience, though, for even from the guy to go in there. It seems so clinical and odd. Like, you know she doesn't want to do it. Like, what's the... I don't know.
What are you talking about? You don't know. If you're making money, who says you don't want to do it? You know where? In Montreal, there's like this. There's a well-known legal place in Montreal that everyone's aware. What?
Yeah, go ahead. Yeah, I know.
Yeah, so, I mean, I didn't think much of it.
Okay.
I don't know what you want me to say.
I didn't know that. Take it easy. I didn't know you went to one of these places before. I didn't know you were, you know, addicted to prostitution. I didn't realize that.
Right. See, that'll be the headline. Dave Portnoy promotes sex trafficking, jerks off, sex trade, all that. You know how they like to spin it.
You think the headline will be Dave Portnoy jerks off sex trade? That would be an odd headline.
Yeah, there's been a lot of odd headlines about me in my career.
I got to give you this. Very funny a couple weeks ago. You guys did that video with the Deadspin writer who claimed that she lived in the Puerto Rican area of...
Yeah, yeah. She was trying to be on our high horse.
Right.
And somehow it's like it came out she lived in Williamsburg, which she must have taken that as against. And Williamsburg's like Brooklyn, a very affluent kind of hippie neighborhood, I guess. But she must have taken that as a gotcha moment. Like, oh no, they found out I lived there. So she threw in, but I live in the Puerto Rican part, whatever the hell that
was. What does that even
so
mean?
I went to Brooklyn and interviewed all the people in her area, asking what they thought about the fact she thought she was doing God's work by her willingness to live near Puerto Ricans.
When did Deadspin become so fucking joyless and full of pussies and PC fucking assholes? Like, what, do we have a date on that?
Well, once they got sued by the Hulkster, They brought in the new regime. That they brought in a totally different regime, and these people are crazy. And the thing about these people that drive me nuts, they're all like young nobodies. Like, they have no experience. They have no life experience. And this is what Desmond's always done, in a way. They made their bones by going after ESPN. Now they go after us. It's a different regime. But no company in the world is more hypocritical than them. They have this sordid past, way worse than us, doing all these despicable things, and they just pretend it never happened, and they point the finger at everybody else. They're the worst humans on Earth. I really believe that.
Worse than Al-Qaeda?
Yes. How about that?
I agree. I don't disagree with that. I agree with you.
Because at least Al-Qaeda is straightforward. They're like, oh, we're terrorists, and we're going to try to kill you. And they have the black flag, and they're very evil people. Mm-hmm. The deception that is involved, I don't like fraud. I don't like Deadspin in the fact that they pretend they're doing like they're the moral authority when they're immoral losers. So at least Al-Qaeda, you know you're dealing with terrorists, you know?
You know what I find interesting? And Deadspin's doing this, and I see other people that do this now. They will, on purpose, sabotage their own profit by chasing political correctness. Like, they're costing themselves money by being gutless. It's just weird.
Yeah, I mean, they went bankrupt. They're on the market to be sold. They'll eventually, honestly, I'd say there's like a 15 to 20% chance, if the price is right, that I buy them.
You have
just
to, right?
Shut them down. I'm not even joking. That's how petty I am. The one contingency would be nobody could tell them that I bought them until I deliver the news. So, like, they walk in and I'm just sitting there. That I'm petty enough. If the price sinks low enough, like, I would spend $2 to $3 million, maybe $5 million, just for that thrill.
What explain to me in your best spin, your best barstool spin, these 60,000 tweets that were deleted, or whatever the hell happened. What is this?
Us?
Yes.
I don't need spin. We don't spin anything.
Well,
that's
what happened?
Really simple. So there's that. We got in trouble. We got DCMA from a comedian who made a video, I don't know, some old song.
Yes.
Like
yeah.
And she sang it to a Christmas carol. Mm-hmm. Turns out, by the way, she took the idea from somebody else, but that's neither here nor there.
Correct.
The way social media works, we credit her, apparently, on Instagram. She never complained. On Twitter, we did not credit her. She never contacted us. She never said a word about it. We have, until we got DCMA, which is basically you can file a complaint with Twitter, right? Mm-hmm. And if you get six of these, six strikes, Twitter just deletes your account. So whenever we get DCMA, we aggressively try to come to a resolution with whoever did it. We'll pay you. We'll credit you. We'll do whatever. This girl won none of it. She went public with it and said we're threatening her, blah, blah, blah. I posted all the texts and emails we sent her.
Mm-hmm.
They were all like, hey, sorry we didn't credit you. How can we resolve this? Do you want $2,000? Now, we had an idiot lawyer offer a $50 gift card to our store made up of like assholes.
I did see that.
Total assholes.
Right.
Bottom line is, we tried to fix it. We weren't threatening her, blah, blah, blah. The problem, so many people don't like us. We have years of videos. Somebody could go back as far in time and just issue the DCMA. If we get six of those, then our Twitter account is gone. So the no-brainer decision, which I signed off on, is let's just delete every video that we posted so nobody can do the DCMAs.
Do you see the irony in this, that you and I had an issue at the Super Bowl where you didn't credit me with the video when Kraft said Minahan, Belichick,
Brady? Yeah, well, guess what? You could have DCMA'd us.
Would I have gotten the $50 gift card?
To our store, you probably used that. That's somebody who's a fan of the store. That may have gotten the job done. We shouldn't have probably offered a $50 gift card to somebody who despises us. That wasn't smart.
Are the comment sections back up, running, good to go?
Comment sections back up. You got to be a member of Gold to comment, but no one's complaining anymore, and we don't have N-bombs and all the racist and horrible shit that people were saying before, so I'm fine with it.
That, to me, I talked to you about this on at the show during Super Bowl week. If some asshole wants to put the N-bomb on comments, in my world, you should be allowed to do that. And then the rest of the commenters can tell that asshole what an asshole he is. Is that
an
incorrect line
that's
of thinking
nice
or no?
Thing to do, but I'm more concerned about, Diageo or Bud Light saying we don't want to be on your website advertising because there's an N-bomb on there.
Right. That's a reasonable line of thinking. We talked, again, something else we talked about, serious. I don't know if I've talked about it yet in my podcast. I'm not sure I've been on the air since then, but I told you the story at the Super Bowl was that when I went into Winchester Hospital and I checked in that night, the security guard there, I was 20 minutes after checking in, asked me if you were what you were like in real life. That's 20 minutes after I checked in.
Yeah, I took that as a big compliment.
Yeah, yes.
I'm glad you lived to tell me that story.
And you also said, which I thought was nice, was if I had, in fact, died, you would have gone to the wake and funeral, you said.
Yeah.
Both.
I would have.
You wouldn't have just done funeral.
I would have done both.
Big line at the wake. I could see that being a decent, that's probably an hour wait.
I didn't know it would be that long.
Well, I mean, I'm younger, you know, somewhat notable. I'm from here. I think there'd be a decent line.
Well, I would, let me put it this way, Kurt.
Yeah,
I would
sure.
At least go and check out how long the line was.
That's reasonable. What's the next? So, in the last like say year or so, I could be wrong. It seems to me the big breakout stars at Barstool have been the Call Me Daddy or whatever it is. Call her those. Girls.
Yeah, they've become huge quickly. The Call Her Daddy girl.
That podcast is in like the top 10 of all podcasts almost all the time.
Yeah, it's gigantic. It's crazy how quickly it grew.
I feel like if two men told the same stories, it would not be nearly as successful.
It wouldn't work. I think we talked about this a little bit. What we're finding, it's easier to grow, I feel like, or make a name as a female in our industry right now than males, just because the sheer number of guys who have podcasts and write blogs are far greater than females. There's more room to create a niche. Like, nobody was doing what the Call Her Daddy girls were doing. They're very good at it. They're two very pretty girls who openly talk about sex. No one was really doing it like how they did. And you put kind of, you combine them with us, we put the fuel on it, and it exploded. But it's much harder, I feel like, to rise above the noise doing something unique in the guy space. That's my take on it. Like, we are hiring more girls because they're more unique and they
women.
Find their
You're hiring more women.
Are you trying to PC me with
yes.
women, girls?
Yes, yes. Listen, that's very offensive.
Boys, guys, offensive women, girls, I don't give a fuck.
What happens if a Feidelberg or a KFC or, pardon my take, left Barstool World? Would they be successful on their own?
Yeah, I think they would. I mean, certainly pardon my take is gigantic,
right.
Man. I think he has the chops to do whatever he wants. You know, KFC has more, I think, of a Barstool stain on him, kind of like I do. But I think at this point, everybody would be successful whether they were here or not at this point. The top-level guys, I do believe that.
Do you still hate Joe Zambrano?
Yeah, he's a... I can say anything on this thing. He's a cock.
Mm-hmm. That's fine. Continue.
He is. I mean, he's a rat. What he did with... there's certain things they don't forgive. Trying to steal... Because we had, I would say, EEI and Barstool at that time had a cordial relationship. To go and try to steal somebody who's under contract with us and asked to look at his contract so you could figure out how to break it, well, that's going to make me hate you. Even when you and I talked, I said, well, when's your contract over? That's different. If someone's contract is coming to an end and you want to try to hire them, that's totally fair game. But to openly try to break somebody else's contract when I thought you had a working relationship with those people, well, that's a devious scumbag rat move.
The irony, of course,
is so stupid,
okay, please.
That he was like trying to use it to negotiate. First, like, Caravis not going anywhere. I know that, so I didn't think he was leaving. He was trying to wiggle around for more money because, as he said, he has no life skills and he's really stupid. He's so stupid that he told me everything he did.
What a moron! What a fucking moron! Two morons, really, Zarbano and Caravis. Really, I mean,
yeah, I mean, they're both in this case equally stupid. Really. Like, I mean, Caravis telling me every move he made, and Zambrano to think that Caravis was going to leave in the first place and wasn't just using him and wasn't going to go running back, tell me everything he did.
That's fucking incredible. Yeah, well, I mean, because we had obviously it was cold for a while after all the Brady's kid thing, which whatever. But I felt like Jerry and me, like I thought we had a pretty good thing going between us and you guys for a while.
Well, I'd agree with that, and that is why. If somebody I hate is trying to steal somebody, I'm not going to hate them more. It's like, well, I hate them. So what? There's no loyalty or no, you know, do the right thing. But I did feel like we had a working, a cordial relationship, like what you just said. So to find that out, that the, I mean, 1 second, Zebrano would be asking me to do something, and then he'd hang up and try to steal Karabas. That's just a rat move.
And over at such a minor talent, too, in Karabas. It's not like you're talking...
He's growing. I mean, you know, he's out here in New York, but he'd be a pretty big star in Boston.
Yeah.
The Red Sox pretty much on lockdown.
Yeah, I guess. I guess that's... Yeah, who's the next big Barstool star? Who's in the... You know, Casey Smith broke out last year, I think. Who's going to be the sort of the... who's the one?
I mean, the Caller Daddy girls are still there. Lauren Caleb, they've been here a while. They're big. I'm trying to think who would be... I feel like you know all the new ones. I don't know. You never know. We may not even hired them yet.
What's the next? What do we got coming up here? What's the next few months? Anything big?
Yeah. Well, it's just, I don't know. Big. It's a lot of travel. We're sleeping over at a sports book this weekend for the tournament. Literally sleeping over, bringing like mattresses to the FanDuel sports book. Then the weekend after, it's Vegas for my birthday.
Mm-hmm.
Then after that, Final Four, Minnesota, then the Masters. Then a rough and rowdy, and then Talladega. So it's like 6 or 7 straight weeks of travel.
I'm going to be at the Masters this year.
No shit.
Yes.
You golf?
Yeah. Oh, yeah. I golf.
You don't seem like a golf guy.
9 handicap.
For real?
Yes. Oh, yeah. You want me to send you, would it be a harder move if I sent you my
no,
handicap?
No, I didn't, that surprised.
I went last year. I talked to Riggs the whole time we were talking about golf. I'm going this year. I went last year. I'm going. Yeah, I fucking love it. The Masters is awesome. It's the best.
The Masters reminds me. I'm a horse guy. Reminds me of Keeneland. There's always this Masters story I tell. So we were there 2 years ago doing radio, and as you know, since you've been, they don't let you take your cell phone into the course.
Correct.
You got to check it. I didn't have a watch and didn't know what time it was. So we asked the older guy, I said, do you know what time it is? Because we had to get back for our radio show. He looks at me dead serious. As time stands still at Masters. And he wouldn't tell me what time it was.
Well, the Masters, like, so, you know, I went with last year. I followed one group around. He followed someone else around. It's almost like when we were back in high school and you just said, I'll meet you here. And then you figure out the time because you have no concept of what's going on. None.
Right.
Which is fucking, I could tell, I mean, it's very limited. Some people care about, some people don't. What are you doing there? What are you guys doing with the Masters?
We generally do radio, like the Sirius show.
Where do you do it from?
We did it, so we partnered when we did it with like Natty Light, the beer. They had actually a great setup. They called Natty Shack, like right next door to the course. And they had all TVs and open. It was very good. I'm not sure about this year yet.
It is wild when you go, like, so I've never been. You have this idea of, you know, Magnolia Drive, Augusta. But around it, it's like being in, you know, friggin' like Saugus or something. It's a bunch of chain places and friggin', you know, cash check stores and shit. Then you take a right and you're at the friggin', you're at the Masters.
Yeah. No, the outside surrounding area is not great.
All right. Anything else? Anything you want to ask me? Anything about me that's piqued your curiosity lately?
No. I mean, I haven't heard anything from you.
You're not a curious person by nature. Do you read books?
I'm very curious.
Do you read books?
Kirk, I don't have time to read.
Well, I'm like, when you're on a plane, do you read a book or no? What do you do?
No, I watch a movie. Listen, do you think, would books be invented if TV were invented first? No.
I love books. So I love books.
Well, then you should drive around with square wheels, too.
I don't think that's quite exactly.
It is. The only reason there's books is because TV wasn't invented first. Now people who read, they think they're so tough. And you're going backwards in time.
Well, I mean, so, okay. All right. Any good TV shows lately? What do you watch? What is Portnoy watching?
I watch Billions a little bit. You want to hear a crazy Billions story? We did a pizza review with this guy from Billions. And Showtime paid for it,
mm-hmm.
And the guy swore, Dan Soder, he swore at the end. He said, I'll be like shit and blood or something. Showtime said, you got to take that out. You got to cut it. I said, no fucking way am I cutting that. We did one take on the pizza reviews.
Right.
And we got in a standoff. They ended up, we just took all their logos off. They wouldn't pay for it. The show Billions is the most graphic, raunchy show. This is how stupid.
Well, Giamatti in that show is like a fucking madman.
What's that?
Paul Giamatti in that show is like a madman.
And they're mad about swearing in a pizza review. It's insane. These people, a lot of people have no brains, Kirk. No brains.
Yes, yes. Showtime, the station that brought us Gigolo, is offended by somebody swearing.
Yeah, they're mad about guys saying these shit blood. So I watched that. I love Game of Thrones. I'm looking forward to that coming back.
Never seen it.
It's great. It really is. So I watch that, and then I watch Office reruns pretty much every day. And
you're not a documentary guy like I am. You're not into these documentaries?
No, I don't have time for that.
It's a fucking hour, an hour and a half.
I watch movies. I like movies. Like, I watch everything. Any movie that comes on, I want to see Vice now. I saw Creed 2 the other day, Green Book, all that shit. I'll watch movies. Take my mind off gambling.
All right, fine. I'll let you go. I'm sure you got other stuff to do. I'll check in at some
point.
Yeah,
unlike you, I got a lot of things.
I've done two podcasts already this week. I'm a fucking workhorse.
Who was the guest on the other one?
This media critic. You wouldn't listen to it. You'd be fucking bored.
Okay.
You'd be bored.
Well,
fine.
Right. This will probably be your highest rated one, so congrats.
All right, goodbye. Thank you.
Bye.
We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of four lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.